Good evening and welcome to our Sunday night study in the book of Nehemiah here at Berean Baptist Church. Please take your Bibles and turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. This evening, Lord willing, we're going to look at verses 1 through 8. We won't have a chance to look at the entire chapter because there's a lot in here that is going to be a wonderful study for our personal edification to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we begin, let's pause for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all that have clicked on the internet to join us tonight. I ask that this would be a time when they would grow in their relationship with you, spiritually strengthen people. You said in the book of Romans, Lord, that we need to awake to righteousness, that we sin not. So I pray that you'd help us to do that through your word tonight. I do ask for wisdom and thought flow and clarity of mind, Lord, to share forth your divine intended message, that the Spirit of God would teach us and grow us and challenge us and change us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 8, a sermon that I've entitled Spiritual Revival for the Nation of Israel. Nehemiah chapter 8, and I want to read for you verses 1 through 8. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And that's going to be a key time. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattaliah and a list of guys that we'll describe in just a little bit, and on his right hand and on his left hand, another list of guys, and I'll explain those guys in just a moment. Verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up of their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua and another, again, a whole list of people there and the Levites, caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Now, when Nehemiah left the Persian palace with his burden from the Lord, he wanted to accomplish three key things in Jerusalem. They're vitally important to understand. They came from the Lord. It was the burden on Nehemiah's heart. In the very beginning of our study, I mentioned something. I said Nehemiah cared about that which God cared about. And that's what's so important. Number one, the three key things that Nehemiah wanted to accomplish in Jerusalem was, number one, to rebuild the walls of the city for its protection. Number two, he wanted to restore the nation to a theocracy, meaning that it was a nation that served the Lord, not just an earthly king, not just a political system, but a nation that actually served the Lord, which they were established to do from the very beginning. Thirdly, he wants them to experience revival, that the spiritual state of Israel by the Jews would return to trusting the Lord as their Savior Messiah and serve Him. Now, chapters 1 through 7 tells us the account of the walls being rebuilt in the book of Nehemiah and the people of the city being restored as a civilization organized for the glory of God. When you get to chapter 8, it begins with Nehemiah calling for a citywide Bible conference. And chapters 8 through 13 will cover the record of how that ministry actually took place. Nehemiah called Ezra, the scribe, to be the key teacher. And that is the Ezra from the book of Ezra. Now, this Bible conference ministry would address the Old Testament instructions for Israel. And that is what we find in chapter 8. And in chapter 9, Nehemiah is going to address them that they need to confess their sin before the Lord. And in chapters 10 through 12, the dedication of the walls. And then finally in chapter 13, the cleansing and fellowship that is needed to walk with the Lord. Now, all that had been accomplished in the rebuilding of Jerusalem had been because of the effects of the scripture, the word of God in the heart of Nehemiah that led him to go there in the first place, to rebuild the walls and to accomplish everything that he had done. He was doing it because he understood what the Old Testament scriptures had said for the responsibilities of Israel and their responsibility to walk with the Lord. He was, through the scriptures, concerned about what God was concerned about. But now, in the rebuilding of the walls are completed, the gates are up. Now it is time for the Jews to hear the scriptures and grow to be concerned about what God was concerned about, not just Nehemiah, but all of the people. And that is why Nehemiah is going to call for this national Bible conference with Ezra, so that the people might learn what God requires of them and learn that they are to have a biblical relationship with God in order for the city to be preserved. Yes, the walls are up. But what was going to stop the walls from being destroyed and torn down again and going back to the same thing that happened? The spiritual condition of degeneration that took place before Nebuchadnezzar destroyed it in the first place could very well happen all over again. So a national Bible conference was brought so that they spiritually could get right with God. The future of Israel will completely be dependent upon their response to the scriptures. The future of Berean Baptist Church, your spiritual future, is completely dependent upon your response to the Word of God. When you study it in devotions, when you hear it proclaimed at church, when you hear a radio or a television preacher proclaim the Word of God accurately, your response in obedience to what God says, not just hearing it, not just part of it, not just quoting or listing that which makes you look good, but your response to the Word of God as God clearly teaches it through His servants, is going to determine your future. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, "The decadent periods and eras in the history of the church have always been those periods when preaching has declined." When God's people are not willing to listen to, show up for, and pay attention to the extent to live out the preaching of the Word of God, obviously, that church, that nation, that people are going to be in spiritual decline. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to cleanse and revive the hearts of God's people through preaching. That has always been true. And that is going to be true in Nehemiah chapter 8 as Ezra is going to lead in this Bible conference in great preaching. Chapter 8 is going to then give us three basic ingredients to living for God as the people of God. And I'm going to suggest unto you that you need to hang on every word from the Word of God in those ingredients. We're going to see that this message that Ezra is going to preach and proclaim is going to include these three ingredients. So let's look at the message of Ezra from God's Word in Nehemiah chapter 8 verses 1 and 3. "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and of women, and all that could hear in understanding, with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street, that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law." So who is going to lead in this great Bible conference? We need to look at that. It begins by saying that it was Ezra in verse 2. Why was Ezra a good man to proclaim the word of God at this point in the Bible conference? Why was he their key choice of Nehemiah to lead in this particular way? Well, Ezra was not only a priest, but he was a scribe who lived the scriptures personally in his life. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10 says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel the statutes and judgment." Yes, the key qualities that Nehemiah saw in Ezra to lead this national Bible conference there in Israel in Jerusalem was that he had a heart that was prepared to not only read the Word of God, interpret the Word of God and proclaim it, but to live it himself, to teach it to others. You know, if you're going to effectively teach the Word of God to others, you have to be living it yourself. If you're going to minister to others in and through the local church, you have to be living the Scriptures yourselves. How did he do this? Well, it says that he prepared his heart. The word prepared there comes from the Hebrew word ka'un, and it means to establish, to set up, to accomplish, to do that in your life, and, to make a firm commitment to the Lord. It also meant that he had made his heart ready for service by preparation to provide and furnish the Jews with an understanding of the Scriptures. Nehemiah literally did the 2 Timothy 2:15, Ezra did. He studied to show himself approved unto God that he might teach others. Ezra lived his life and studied the Old Testament to direct the Jews toward God in a moral sense so that they also could live holy lives which God required of them. Ezra had a commitment to the Lord, and that meant he had to arrange and order his life to be an example and to communicate effectively. You see, if you and I are going to serve the Lord, we can't just do things for God. We can't just be involved. We have to live a life that is acceptable to God by obeying the teachings of Scripture. And how are you ever going to know what those teachings are if there isn't an Ezra around to proclaim it, and not just proclaim it accurately, but out of a life that is dedicated to the Lord? So we see that Ezra, he was there to seek the law of the Lord. That word seek in the Hebrew is darash, and it means to seek with a demand upon yourself, to set standards for yourself, to live to the glory of God, to know what the Scriptures actually mean, and then live it out so that you might proclaim it effectively. It means to investigate the Scriptures, to inquire, to ask, and then to practice what you've studied. To study with a desire to follow, to seek with application, a care about what the Scriptures say so that you might live that out carefully in your own life. But many folks say today, and I was talking about this last Sunday, many folks say today, the Holy Spirit is all I need to understand the Scriptures, and they quote John chapter 16 and verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You know, the word guide, as it says there in John chapter 16 and verse 13, that the Spirit of God will guide you into all truth, comes from the Greek word hageo, and in its grammatical sense, it is future active indicative. And what does that mean? Future, it means it will take place in the future from the time of the writing at the advent of the Holy Spirit on the day of the Pentecost. After the day of Pentecost, obviously, the Holy Spirit would indwell the children of God to guide them into all truth. Secondly, grammatically, it is active, meaning that the Holy Spirit will actively be involve every Christian into having the appropriate truth to live to the glory of God on that particular day. Indicative means that this is a statement of fact. Now, how is the Holy Spirit, you get up in the morning and you want to study the Word of God, how is the Holy Spirit going to guide you into all truths? Well, in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, it says one method how God, the Holy Spirit, is going to do that. It says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Another key way is in 2 Timothy 2:15. I've alluded to this already, to study to show yourself approved unto God. So if you put the Word of God in your mind through studying, if you've been singing in church or singing at home good biblical songs, God the Holy Spirit will guide you into the truth you need to live that day by bringing good Christian songs to mind, by bringing the truth of the Word of God to mind so that you can live and make choices to the glory of God. But whom has God chosen to explain the truth of the Word of God so the Holy Spirit can guide you into living what has clearly been explained? Whom has God given the task to interpret the Word of God accurately so that you know what portions will apply and need to be used in the decisions that you're going to make on any given day? The answer to that simply is preachers. And who calls the preachers to preach the Word of God? Well, it's God the Holy Spirit. And how does He equip them, and what does He charge them to do? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. In Ephesians 4:11-12, the Bible clearly says that he gave some apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and some evangelists for the perfecting of the saint, for the work of the ministry. It is the preacher's job to study the Word of God, to accurately share what it means by using biblical hermeneutics and to proclaim that truth so that the Spirit of God can guide you into using that truth appropriately to live for God's honor and glory. 1 Thessalonians 5:1 and we beseech you, brethren, to know them who which labor, and literally that word labor means to the point of exhaustion and weariness, among you are over you in the Lord, and admonish you from the Scriptures, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now, at this great Bible conference that is going to be proclaimed here in Nehemiah chapter 8, Ezra had actually arrived 14 years before Nehemiah had got there, and he sought to bring the people to returning unto the Lord to live to the glory of God, as recorded in Ezra chapters 7-10. But now it was really not going to take place until the walls had been rebuilt, they had been organized into a group to do the work to the glory of God, and Ezra wasn't going to be the guy who would really bring that organization. It would be Nehemiah. It would be the cupbearer from Persia. Now, once the walls are rebuilt, they've been organized as a society, and the homes are now being reconstructed and built, and the gatekeepers are put in place. Nehemiah calls for Ezra, and he says, you know what? I think the people are ready. I think they're ready to hear the Word of God read, and I think they're ready to begin to apply those Scriptures to their lives, repent of their sin. You're going to see in the next few chapters a time of confession of sin and restoration unto the Lord. And by the way, do we need that in our lives? Do we need that in our churches? Do we need that in our people? And the answer to that is absolutely. People need to get right with God. Well, look at the people that were going to be involved. Chapter 8 in the second part of verse 2. And all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the week on the seventh month. Verse 3, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Now, who made up this congregation that was going to be gathered there? Not everybody, not families with their little children. Out of the 42,000 that lived in Jerusalem, it was going to be those who had the ability to listen for long periods of time, and those who would have a heart to do it. Not only adults, but those that were old enough to understand the Scriptures were permitted in this assembly at the Bible conference. Now, it's very interesting where this takes place. Look with me in verse 3. It said it takes place before the water gate. Water has a significant symbolic importance in the Word of God. In the Bible, water for washing is a picture of the Word of God. In John chapter 15 and verse 3, it says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, the Bible says that he might sanctify it and cleanse it by the washing of the water of the Word. The Word of God has a cleansing effect. It's as if you took a shower and the dirt of the day that you had gathered because you were working on the walls of Jerusalem are now washed away. Well, the dirt of the world, the dirt of worldliness that can come into your life, that which you use for entertaining yourself, for your wrong attitudes, actions, and appetites that get into your life, when you get into the Word of God, it purges from those your life those things that ought not to be, that God doesn't want to be a part of your life. If you listen attentively to the preaching of the Word of God, it will have a purifying effect in your life. Now, water for drinking in the Bible is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. In John chapter 7, verses 37-39, the Bible says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus
was not yet glorified. So we see that the Word of God is going to be proclaimed, and the adults and perhaps older teenagers are going to be there to listen to the Word of God. Now let's look at the ministry of Ezra at this great Bible conference gathered by Nehemiah there before the water gate in Jerusalem. Look with me at Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 4. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood that list of men that are literally going to their Levites. And by the way, I believe their teachers also, they're going to assist him in proclaiming the word of God. But how was Ezra so very effective? Well, it says in verse 1 in the second part that Ezra, he brought the book of the law of Moses. You see, this Bible conference took place on what is our New Year's Day. The seventh month was a special time of the Jewish calendar because the Jews celebrated the Feast of Trumpets on the first day of that month, the Day of Atonement on the 10th day of the seventh month, and the Feast of Tabernacles from the 15th day to the 21st day on that month, according to the law written in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 23 to 44. And so this was a perfect time for the people of the nation to gather together after the rebuilding of the walls to get right with God under the leadership of Nehemiah and through the preaching of Ezra. Now, the book of the law that is referred to there means the entire scroll of the first five books in the Old Testament, the Pentateuch. Ezra would read and then explain all five books from of the book of Moses from preaching early in the morning at noon throughout that entire week. Now, how did this probably work? He probably concentrated on his messages on the book of Deuteronomy and used the other books of the Pentateuch to explain and expand on his preaching from the book of Deuteronomy. He stood on a pulpit, it says in verse 4, so that they could see him, and kind of an amphitorium effect proclaimed that and echo off the newly rebuilt walls of Jerusalem. In chapter 4, Ezra lists 13 men that stood with him. They are probably leaders representing the tribes along with the rest mentioned in verse 7, and these were probably also teaching priests. Ezra opened the book, and what did he proclaim? Look at verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, notice the response of the people. It says that all the people stood. And the people continue to stand, remain standing while the law was read and while it was explained. And so they're going to be standing for an extended period of time. Ezra began reading and preaching early in the morning, and it continued through midday. So the congregation listened and stood for 5 to 6 hours each day and continued this for an entire week. Look what it says down in verse 18. Also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according to the matter. Ezra probably took breaks for the people, and now you can see it's no wonder that he just wanted adults and teenagers there. In verse 6, a very interesting thing happens. Ezra reads the book of the law, the people are standing, and notice their response in verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Ezra blessed the Lord. You see the word blessed there? It comes from the Hebrew word barak, and it literally means to praise the Lord. Ezra praised the Lord in the presence of all the people. Now, what did he praise the Lord for? Well, I'll tell you, there were many things, but I think he praised the Lord for Nehemiah. He praised the Lord that Nehemiah was so tender to the Word of God that he was willing to make that long journey to Jerusalem, organize the workers, rebuild the walls, set the gates, gather the people together, work on their homes, organize them into a civilization, and now have Ezra come and read the book of the law, preach the book of the law in a Bible conference that would last all week. And I think that Ezra was leading the people in praise to God that all of this was being accomplished and they were being restored as a theocracy, and those who wanted to live to the glory of God. Much of American Christianity is cultural, easy Christianity in our world today. Now, the Jews stood for hours to hear the Word of God proclaimed. In many other lands, like in Eastern Europe, Christians stand for hours in the woods or in crowded rooms to hear Bible preaching and teaching. But in Western churches, the shorter the sermon, the better we like it. We have short sermons, short commitments, short living, and short love to the glory of God. Oh, how we need to have a heart like the children of Israel at this particular time. They were willing to work. They were willing to listen. They were willing to worship. They were willing to confess their sin. And they were willing to live to the glory of God. Now, what was the message that Ezra proclaimed as the word of God was read? It says in verses 7 and 8, a list of guys that were there, obviously these key leaders, caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. The list that you see, those are the priests, those are the teaching priests, and the Levites that would have proclaimed and helped the truth of the word of God be understood. In verse 8, so they read in the book of the law, notice it says they, so apparently they joined Ezra in helping in this. They read the book of the law distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. The common people didn't own a scroll of the scriptures, so they were glad to hear the scriptures read. Now, how long had it been since the scroll of the word of God had been unfurled and it had been read to them? So Ezra preached in such a way that they could understand. I need to explain that because there's some complexity here. The word understand in the Hebrew, bene, means he communicated the deep truth in an articulate way. In other words, Ezra was articulate because he had prepared not only to understand the word of God, but to proclaim the word of God. Theologically, for us preachers, this is called homiletics. It is where we learn to proclaim God's truth in an understandable way. Ezra preached so that they could learn, it says in verse 8, distinctly. The word distinctly comes from the Hebrew word parash, and it means according to a set of rules. And the idea behind that is there was a set of interpretive rules that Ezra would use to proclaim the Torah. What are those rules? Well, we call those hermeneutics. He believed in a historical, literal, grammatical, contextual, theological understanding of the Word of God. And so it is teaching us here by this word parash that Ezra preached it distinctly. And it means that he preached it hermeneutically so that people could understand it. So why do we preach hermeneutically in our churches today? Why don't we embrace just Bible storytellers? Why don't we just embrace people who preach about the Word of God and use flowery speech? Why do we insist upon an accurate proclamation hermeneutically of the scriptures? Because if you're going to have revival, if great things are going to be done for God, we need to do it the same way that Ezra did. Now, the ancient Hebrew language of Moses had changed down through the centuries until the time of Nehemiah and Ezra. The conversational language of the Jews in Hebrew of Ezra's time, they would find it very difficult to understand the Hebrew of the Torah. The language had evolved and the language had changed. Now, the Levites on the platform in verse 7 are literally going to help Ezra in the teaching and in the reading to cause the people to understand. To teach further, the teaching Levites may have actually divided this assembly up into smaller groups and continued with personal instruction and answering questions and concerns that they would have had. So, there will not be revival, true transformation through the scriptures in people's lives until they commit themselves to listen to sound, accurate, biblical exposition of the scriptures, which is exactly what we're seeing in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 and the following, as Ezra had the scriptures read, as he proclaimed to it, as they read the word of God and interpreted it distinctly and gave the sense and gave a clear understanding to the people. You know, people's lives are not going to change until they understand the word of God and commit themselves to the accurate teaching of the word of God. Home church, church without God, and church without a called, trained preacher will accomplish little because it's not God's proclaimed pattern to follow to be a biblical disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I can worship in the woods. I can worship at home just like I do at church. And the answer to that is, no, you can't, because God says you can't. You need an Ezra. You need those who are trained in the Word of God to do what? To give the sense, to proclaim it distinctly, and to give an understanding distinctly in order to fulfill the rules of interpretation and in hermeneutics to proclaim the Word of God. Otherwise, you're not going to know how to live to the glory of God. Ezra is going to do that. In our next sermon, we're going to see that Ezra gives biblical instructions to the people so that they might experience revival, so that the walls stay up, so that the city is retained, so that the work of God continues, so that the theocracy of God is known amongst the people, that evangelism takes place across the world, so that all of the requirements that are necessary to live to the glory of God through the proclamation of the Word of God accurately are done. The same is true today. We need that in our local churches, an accurate proclamation and instruction of the Word of God. And by the way, what value is that to the people unless they hear it? What value is it to the people unless they assemble themselves? In our world today, it's very difficult to get people to come out to church. It's very difficult for people to take a stand and to come out. Look at what they did. They stood from early morning till noon. They did that for an entire week because they had a hungering for scriptures. You can measure your commitment to God. You can measure your commitment to God's word by a willingness to show up for the word of God's proclamation through preaching. If you don't care about the preaching of the word of God, you don't really care about knowing what God's word truly says. And unless you know what God's word truly says, the Holy Spirit is not going to guide you into that truth. You are not going to have effective living for God's glory in your daily life. And you'll find yourself lonely. You'll find yourself spiritually weak. You'll find yourself spiritually empty. You'll find yourself without biblical worship. You'll find yourself without biblical giving. All of those ingredients that we find in Nehemiah chapter 7 and chapter 8 that were a part of God's people who experienced revival, restoration, and reclamation from their worldly lifestyles under the leadership of Ezra and Nehemiah. And that's what we need in our world today. Let's pray. Lord, help your people to be receptive to your message and have a willingness in their hearts to biblically obey what the Word of God clearly teaches. And so, Lord, as their pastor, I pray for them that you would strengthen them, not only to study, not only to listen, but to show up for the preaching of the Word of God, that they may grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We appreciate it very much. Our prayer for you is that you will live according to the Word of God, for the Son of God, to the glory of God. Thank you so much for tuning in.